Now, the rest of the story. For President Grover Cleveland, it was a most exasperating winter, the winter of 1887. Glumly, he sat behind the large desk in his study, considering the recent past. In the first place, it seemed that everybody was mad at him. He'd been the first Democrat elected to the presidency since the Civil War, so the majority Republicans were mad at him. Immediately after his election, he had been besieged by swarms of job-seeking Democrats, previously out of favor. He gave most of them jobs, so the mugwump Republicans who had supported Cleveland were mad at him. He had also taken many jobs out of politics by blanketing them into a civil service merit system, so the Democrats were mad at him. Beyond the tangled network of partisan politics, Grover Cleveland had reclaimed about 80 million acres of government land which had been illegally occupied by the railroads and cattle ranchers, by mining and lumber companies. So the railroads and the cattle ranchers and the mining and the lumber companies were mad at him also. Everybody, it seemed, wanted Cleveland's scalp by the winter of 1887. He had appointed a couple of former Confederates to the cabinet, so the North was mad at him. In the past year, he had launched a major battle for tariff reduction. The Democratic-controlled House backed him. The Republican-controlled Senate did not. Cleveland lost the battle, and with it the respect of both the House and the Senate. And, oh yes, Cleveland had vetoed more than 200 congressional bills concerning the pensions of Civil War veterans, and the mounting public uproar was by no means confined to the veterans themselves. So now it's the winter of 1887. Specifically, it's January 1888. Grover Cleveland is sitting behind that big desk in his study, a latter-day King Arthur at an empty round table, pondering his future. Within the hour, the President of the United States would offer a piece of little-noted, barely-remembered advice. You already know the frame of mind he was in when he gave that advice, so you'll want to weigh that in the balance when you hear the rest of the story. Again, you already know the frame of mind that Grover Cleveland is in that bleak January day in 1888. So perhaps he was just maybe not in the mood for visitors. Nevertheless, his old friend Jim was leaving town, and he was stopping in at the White House to say goodbye to the president. And Jim arrived at the door of Cleveland's study, and the two friends shook hands. And then the President of the United States looked down. Jim, you see, had brought with him his young son, age 5. And briefly, Grover and Jim discussed the events of recent months. Indeed, the President's world just seemed to be toppling all around him, and indeed this was reflected in his haggard visage. Patiently and without any interest at all, Jim's 5-year-old boy had been listening to all of this. The visit was not a long one. Now, it's over. Jim rose to leave. His friend Jim was leaving town. He took his small son by the hand, and they started toward the door. President Cleveland stood, walked over, placed his hand upon the little boy's head. "My little man," President Cleveland said, "I am making a strange wish for you. It is that you may never, ever be President of the United States." Yes, Grover Cleveland really said that to 5-year-old Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And now you know the rest of the story.